Good morning. This is Gaming Perspectives with
Saul
and Jolene. And today, Saul wants to talk about...
Well, it's kind of a working title. When things don't go as planned, I guess. I'll try to shorten it some more, but...
And what do you mean by when things don't go as planned?
Well, this is for a GM who's running a game. And it a lot depends on what kind of game you run. So there's people who run what I call railroady type games. And the more railroady it is, the more prepared you should be for this kind of thing happening.
By railroad, if you haven't listened to our episodes on railroading, that means that the game is very linear and the GM is expecting and sometimes demanding that his players do certain things and follow a certain path.
Right.
Not always. Sometimes it's like con games have to be kind of railroady because you only have a certain amount of time and it's a one-shot thing.
Right.
Although you don't have to do it that way. Sometimes it makes the GM feel better.
A lot of depends on the game, too, that you're playing. So D&D can be railroady, especially like on a con game or short game. But, you know, it all depends on the situation. So it could be that you have a big meta plot, you know.
For a campaign.
A big campaign idea. And your characters, you know, and you're like, okay, so you kind of like the next step in this part of the campaign is to go here and do this. And sometimes your players don't do that, right? And so what do you do? You know, when things don't go as planned. And so you can kind of forecast where your player, you know, you listen to your players and they're going, oh, we're going to go over here. So you plan for them to go there. And then like one person goes, man, I don't want to go over there. Let's go over here instead. You're like, damn.
So this is the idea. And the idea that comes into my head, because I've heard somebody say this before, is that if you're the GM and you have written the book out in your head of what your people are going to do,
yes.
Then and they don't do it and it really frustrates you and you're not willing to adjust yourself to what the players do, because you kind of have to. Players are going to do whatever they're going to do.
Right.
And that is a really hard thing for some GMs to accept. And if you want to write a book, write a book.
Yes.
And have them do what you want them to do. But when you're playing with real live people, they're
real life
do
people.
Whatever they want.
Live people.
So you, as the GM, need to be able to...
roll with the punches, yeah. Kind of speak. So if you run, real loosey-goosey games, as I like to call them,
Loosey-goosey.
It's an archaic term back from my 80s. Probably earlier than that. You can roll with the punches a little bit easier, right? And there's some GMs out there who have no
expectations.
Nothing. They have no game prepared. They show up with a notebook, maybe a couple ideas written on it, and the rest is like they riff off whatever the players are doing. Now, I don't know about those guys. I like to have a few notes up my sleeve or an idea that I'm going to do, but and that requires a lot of spontaneity and off-the-cuff decisions and making things up right away. And, you know, some people are put off by that kind of GM. They're like, well, this guy's just making everything up out of his...
As we go.
As, you know, out of his... But they might have an idea, and they might have, you know, like an idea that what the game might be about. But just because they don't want to prepare about stuff that's not going to ever be used because the players don't ever go there or don't go in that direction, they don't want to waste their time writing a bunch of notes that are never going to be used. Or not
there
be
are
used.
GMs like me who worry that the players won't go the way I want them to, which, you know, when you have a plot line going, so you have to extra prepare or over-prepare.
Yes.
Make at least three or four ideas of if they go this way, what are they going to do? And if they do this, what am I going to do?
Plans,
yeah.
So that's what we're talking about. We're talking about plans. We're talking about being prepared for the unexpected, right? So what I like to do is I like to have either, like an encounter. Let's say you're playing D&D. Like an encounter that you can insert anywhere. And it doesn't have to be combat encounter. It could be, you know, intrigue. It could be anything that you want. But you have names, dates, or not dates, but you have names, motivations of characters, or what characters look like, descriptions and stuff, non-player characters, right? And this really can save your bacon when you're like, when players do something and you're totally not expecting, and you're like stuck. You're like, holy crap, what do I do? So, you know, you casually pull out your old crap notebook.
Yeah.
And say, or your folder, or, you know, electronic format, you can pull up your file and you can come up with, and you have something prepared. Now, prepared is, you know, kind of loose term, right? All I mean is that you have something that the characters can do and it's something that you can insert anywhere. any encounter that you can serve anywhere at any time. So, so for me, you want them moderately detailed. You can't detail them too much because then maybe it won't fit in with the current situation that your players are in.
It has to fit whether you're in a city or on a road in the middle of nowhere.
Correct. So what I would have is I would have like NPCs. I would have maybe pictures of NPCs. So it gives you, it gives the characters the illusion. Yeah, the illusion
that this was all part of your plan.
All part of the plan, right? And have stats if you have monsters, stat blocks. You know, real quick notes on what the stats are.
Or if you're like me, print it out and stick it on the page where you think it's gonna happen.
That'll work. That helps too.
They love pictures. Players love pictures.
Yes, and I would suggest doing a red herring in this situation because a lot of players hate red herrings. They don't like wasting their time. And then you can't see me because this is a podcast, but I'm doing the air quotes. You know, wasting their time. So don't make it a complete like something that has no connection to what they're doing.
Don't suddenly meet a princess in the middle of the road when you're doing something else.
Yes.
Unless you were actually looking for a princess, then maybe that would work.
So like I said, you know, tie it to the campaign somehow. It, no matter how loosely, just a little bit of connection to what they're doing, and the players will run away with this little connection, right? They're like, oh, okay, I understand. And especially if you don't tell them the connection and they discover it on themselves, that another this gives them the illusion that, man, you're a masterful GM because, like, this is wonderful, right?
And you're just sitting there going, okay, this is
by my skin and my teeth,
not hurting me because, you know.
Yeah, so when I say it should pertain to the campaign, it's like maybe give a clue or equipment that helps the characters in their quest, whatever that current quest or goal is.
It would be kind of weird if you're on a road going somewhere and you're going in the wrong direction that the GM thinks you should be going in.
Right.
I put that in quotes too. You can't see me, so I just thought I'd tell you. If you just have a magician standing on the road handing out magical equipment,
No.
People are going to think that's like weird. So you can't do that.
No, I'm talking a little bit more thought out encounter.
Okay, just making sure because it sounded like
it's prepared ahead of time. So okay. You would give reasons when you would use this or different areas where you would use it. You know, different situations. You have more than one.
Any examples?
More than one. Oh, okay. In my repertoire, have I ever done this? I've done this. I can't remember off the top of my head. I didn't write any notes about it. But for example, let's say you're talking about they have to travel somewhere, but they're traveling the wrong direction, right? So your encounter, it may not have anything to do with what they're doing, but they find something that helps them put them on the right track, a map, a letter from somebody, you know, if it has to deal with whatever it has to do with their game or their goal. And the encounter, you know, maybe, you know, the encounter could be something like somebody's in trouble, right? A wizard is behind a wagon and there's a couple people.
Always beware of wizards behind wagons.
Behind wagons. And they're fending off like a raiding party of orcs, trolls, yeah. Whatever level you're talking about. And so he or she, the wizard, you know, can have information or can say, well, you know, I was going to go, I was going the direction you're going. Can you deliver this message or this letter? And being nosy or something, it all depends on your character, on your players.
There's always a rogue that's going to open it, yes, and look and see what it is.
Yes, and so that letter can have anything that they, you know, anything in it, obviously. And just tie it to whatever they're doing. And if they're going the wrong direction, or in your case, the wrong direction, say, you know, I heard something pertains to their goal is over here. You know, the constable of this might want to know about it, blah, blah, blah. And so that would gently push the characters into the correct
direction. As long as you hadn't told them that, you know, this is the town that a few minutes ago, you should go this way or this way. What are you going to do when they pick the wrong way for you? And then you go back, you find this wizard that you help and he says, oh, in this town, which is the same town, they might think that, you know. See what I'm saying?
Yeah, I understand. I feel like you're pushing them in a certain direction. But remember, it has to be subtle. And the players have to come up with the idea themselves. I mean, it's a fine line, but, you know, I think these these type of encounters, you have to have a little less detail and to let the players fill in because their imagination will get the best of them, right?
Yes.
Yes.
Well, and I always tell you the way that I think of this for a convention game is that you just take your encounter and you move it somewhere else. You can't do this with like named places or or you can't just pull out a what do you call it where the orcs live? Like a hill with a bunch of orcs in it.
Or I don't know what they call it. Their den.
Yeah, you can't just make something appear in front of them that wasn't there a second ago.
Yes.
But you can move your encounter that you had planned to a different location.
Yes.
You can move your clues to a different city. You doesn't have to. You don't have to be so strict in your thinking that they have to meet this guy here where they want to go a different way. Fine, they meet him over here.
Right, and so, but let's say you've done that, or you're giving them all the clues that you can think of, and you're like, they still not going the right direction to you, for you. But, you know, what are you going to do? So, you know, you take your bathroom break. You scribble out a note real quick. Or you say, hey, you know what? We've been going out a little bit of time. Let's take a break. Let's eat. You know, sometimes people eat. So that would be a perfect time to make up stuff or, you know, to help your encounter that you already have sitting there for emergencies. And you just add stuff to you know, put the players back on the right track, so to speak, or go in the right direction.
Or change the direction and just move your... Yeah, the cool encounter that you have set up.
Yeah, so I would also, to make it more believable that this isn't just something you pulled out of your keister, is to maybe tie in an NPC that they all know. And that will give it the encounter more grounding to the world.
More gravitas.
Yes. So that's pretty cool. If you have, and then, you know, if you have NPCs that the characters know or have come across and named characters, obviously, then I think it gives that encounter, that emergency encounter, a little bit more believability. And they're like, oh, yeah, you know, whatever. Players will latch on to that kind of stuff, I think.
Most people will.
Yes.
But what if you're in a situation where they're not getting the clues that you're giving them? What would you do then?
Well,
I have an example.
Okay.
So when we ran the big game at DungeonCon where we had three different tables,
yes.
Felipe came up to me and said, they're not figuring out this.
The clue.
And
was it the puzzle one?
Yeah, because it was in a library and a puzzle in space.
So don't use puzzles, right? That's
if you use puzzles, and I just told him make them find it behind the next whatever they open. And I'm sure he had thought about that, but he thought the puzzle was pretty easy.
Yes.
And sometimes it's hard because people don't think the way that I think or the way that you think.
Correct.
They think their own way.
That's why I don't like puzzles, right? Because you usually, oh, this is so simple, they'll get it, no problem. But no.
So if they don't get it, don't beat yourself up about it. Don't be upset. Just give it to them. Sometimes you just have to give it to them every once in a while, especially if you're in a game.
Did he run the puzzle by you before? I mean, did you know what the puzzle was?
You guys, I never heard of it. I was only the moderator. I was not the...
Well, he never discussed the puzzle with me, what I'm saying.
But he had it set up. He had the idea, and it was a good idea. And I think he did tell us what it was. Because it was a role, you had to follow these robots through this library and
no, I don't remember him talking about the puzzle.
Yeah.
But I'm terrible at puzzles, right?
Yeah.
I'm terrible at puzzles. So when somebody says, I'm going to put a puzzle in my game, I say, that is the worst thing you can do. Worst thing you can do. Because what happens, because the whole idea of a puzzle is they got to get the answer to continue. And so what happens in the game that they don't get the puzzle? They don't solve it. You're stuck.
So then you just give it to them.
Well, yeah. In that case, yeah.
So the next thing that they touch, oh, the answer is there. So, and that might sound like...
It's like the classic, like somebody's looking for a secret door and then they lean on something and it goes, and it opens the secret door. But
to keep your frustration level down as a GM, right? And to, especially in a game like this was a time thing where you only had a certain amount of time and a ding was going to go off and people were going to move to different time periods. So it was
a great idea.
It was hard. It was hard. And I'm like, just give it to them. And then he also had the problem of some of the players hadn't told the things they were supposed to tell when they got to his table. So that made it even harder. So I could feel his frustration, and he was, and it, he's such a good GM that he didn't want to
intercede.
He didn't want to just give it.
He didn't want to. He didn't want to intrude on the players.
He wanted them to
on the games.
To figure
yeah,
it out.
I had no problem with that because I knew we were on a tight schedule, and when people came into the my group and didn't want to share, I said, "No, you're gonna want to tell everybody what you heard and saw." And they're like, "Really?" I go, "Yes." Yes, your character would feel this way. There's no doubt about it. And like, even if they did, it's because, okay, it was I thought it was a great idea. We had three tables, and people from different tables got a clue about. They got a clue what was going on. A clue to what was going on. So when they came to different tables, some people wouldn't want to share. I'm like, they're like, "This is a secret for me only." No, I just wanted you to feel. I thought that a secret was a good idea to make them feel special, and then they would have, you know, what is it? They would have the attention of everybody at the table and say, "This is what I saw in my vision," right? And so they're like, "Oh," and it was kind of puzzly, right? Because it gave you clues about what was going on. So that was sort of a puzzle, and so it helped everybody figure out what was going on. And when one person came to my, because there was two clues to every table every time, so when one person didn't share, I'm like, "What are you doing?" And the person going, "Well, it's just for me, isn't it?" I go, "Well, the other person shared and it made sense to everybody. And then they shared more information with you. And that kind of made more sense, didn't it?" And he goes, "Yeah." I go, "Well, you think I should show?" I go, "Yeah, definitely. Your character would definitely share this information." And so they did. But, you know, other GMs are not going to force the players to do something that the character, you know, force the other players to do what the characters are going to do, right? Because we're at a con, and literally it was a very structured game to a certain extent.
Which was really hard, and I don't suggest anybody ever do this.
I thought it was a brilliant idea. I thought it went really well. I think it was our first and only run. We hadn't play tested it. And because of that, there was little bumps in the road. There's definitely bumps and definitely problems. But I had a blast running the game. And I didn't let any problems like that spoil the fun. And I didn't let it spoil the fun for my players. I just kept rolling, you know, with whatever. Now, I wasn't stuck with the mini maximizers at the D&D table. But when they came to my table, they didn't give me any problems.
Because they weren't playing D&D at your table.
Anyway, so we're getting a little bit off topic.
So,
but yeah.
So the idea is that if you get stuck, sometimes it's just figure out a way to give them the clue or have ideas in your head already. If it's something they need to know, like a map or something, figure out a way to give it to them so it doesn't frustrate you or the players, right?
Yeah, definitely. The frustration is terrible.
And I've seen it before in the GM's face when some player says something totally, you know, "This is what I'm going to do." And the GM's just like staring at them going, and you're like,
mouth open.
Yeah. Like, I never even considered that was a possibility, right? And then you can see that they need a moment to figure out what the next step is. And I've had people do that to me. And I always have, like, because I'm extra, I don't know, I don't want to call it organized because I'm not all that organized, but I have extra scenes just in case, because I never know what they're going to do.
So you already have this. You have this kind of done already. You do this already.
Yeah.
Right. Along with things we should do, there's things you shouldn't do, right? So when the group goes totally off, you don't look surprised. You don't look worried or angry. You don't say, "Shoot," right? Or other words, when something goes off, you know, you call for a break, like I said, a quick break. If it's you've been playing a while, stop and eat. If you're, you know, people are hungry, or you're going, "Oh, I got to get something to drink," or "I got to use the bathroom." And so you go to the bathroom, you calm yourself down. You wash your face, you know, you remember your go-to quest or event, right? You go to the, then you go back to the table like, "Hey, you know, it's in the bag, you got no problems." Because, you know, I believe in the ideas is, I forget who said it. I remember it was a commercial, right? You don't, it was an antiperspirant commercial, right? You never
let them see you sweat.
Exactly. It's exactly what I'm saying. Because some players, I don't think I have these kind of players, but some players, like if they see the GM sweating, they're like sharks, right? They see the blood in the water, like, Oh, and they'll go after you. They'll push whatever agenda they're, you know, because sometimes they're just like pushing your buttons. There's people out there like that, especially at a con. You might come across them. And so there you go. You know, you want to make sure that you feel, you give out the air that, you know, that this is all part of the plan, or that you have it figured out, or that this is, you know.
Maybe some people can't do that, though. Maybe some people can't. Not show their surprise or something.
That's true, but you know, I think because as soon as you're like, oh, you put your head down, you're like, man,
you ruined my adventure for me.
One, it might upset the players, right?
Yeah.
Because like, oh shoot, we pissed off our GM, or what, or like, you know,
broke him.
Yeah. Or like, oh man, did we miss something? You know, and then they miss the clue. Then they feel bad about they're not doing their job. You know, that they're not playing well, or they're not picking up on something. So it doesn't do anybody any good when the GM's just, you know, ah, damn it, you know. And so I say that when they kill my monster sometimes a little bit too quickly, I go, you jerks. But it's in tongue in cheek, right? I'm happy that they did well. And whatever.
You're just going to make bigger monsters next time.
There's always that. Make them bigger.
Basically, the whole point of role-playing, tabletop role-playing games, is to have fun, right?
Right.
So even if the players do something totally unexpected and they're having fun, you're stumped for a moment. Just, you know, he's just saying regroup and I don't know about the never let them see you sweat part, but.
No, because I think.
For me, just don't want them to see that you don't have a plan
right
from where they are.
I think players, when players, now not the characters obviously, when the players believe that the GM has all this planned out and is part of the adventure, they feel better about it, right? I think they feel, oh, we're doing the right thing, we're on the right path, and that makes them like, well, we're doing good. You know what I mean? If the GM goes, oh, you guys are going the wrong freaking direction, they're like, oh man, what did we miss? You know, and it doesn't make people feel good. So if you don't let them see you sweat, and you're in control, you're like, okay, well, you know what, I gotta go bathroom. Boom, you know, you leave for 15 minutes. They're not gonna, you know, and players aren't gonna notice. They're just gonna be chit chatting, talking and stuff like that anyway. So, you know, in the bathroom, you know, take a little notebook, write down some notes. Remember, you know,
nobody's gonna think that's odd.
Well, you know, people.
I'm just.
You know, you have your pen, or just calm down, right? Because you're gonna already have this side adventure or encounter or subplot just ready to go, and all you gotta do is, the only thing you gotta come up with is, how am I gonna link that to what they're doing now?
So one of the things about a side adventure is, like, if you're in a town, it doesn't have to be anything elaborate,
right?
You could just have it where, oh, you're walking down the street, and was there anything you guys wanted to look at or buy? And let them go shopping. Well, let them go to a store and have an NPC ready to talk to
right.
them. A little bit, break up the yeah. party. Have a thief come along, or you know, different things like that. You know, they
discover a dead body.
That's always a good thing. Although if it was my character and I discovered a dead body, I'd turn around and walk away.
And then you're the suspect.
Exactly.
Some little kid sees you walking away from a dead body. Dad, she's a witch.
Anything, it doesn't have to be anything big. If you're on a road, it could be a little girl asking for help.
Right. Oh, yeah. That definitely run away.
Because, yeah, you can't run away from kids asking you for help.
Oh, I would. Yeah, with little girls on a road where, you know, where there's everybody's out to kill you. You know, orcs and goblins, kobolds. Where the hell did this little girl come from? That's definitely. I definitely go, I'll be right back, girl, and just run away. That's what I do.
No, you wouldn't.
Yes, I would. No, in a game, win. Yes, I would. That's it.
As or a paladin, I don't think so.
Oh, yes, I would. No. I'd instantly kill her because I think she's a demon.
No.
So exactly. So I think these type of things, you could just, you know, you don't even ever have to use them, but just have them. They're generic enough, but they somehow connected to your campaign. And you connect it to your campaign by having a note or a clue that it could be a real simple clue. And it might be something they already know, you know, because they might have discovered it already through the process of role playing. But that just, if it's something they already know and they get concrete evidence, like a note or a map, that's perfect. Because they're like, oh, yes, we're on the right track. And you can even come up with this idea after they've already come up with the clues, or after they already got their ideas, you know, that they already figured things out, and it just confirms their it confirms their ideas, and that's perfect. And like I said, keep it, what is it, neutral or, you know, vague, but add a little bit of details that brings that encounter to life. So people go, oh, this is just BS. This is just a, you know, BS encounter.
So if you've ever experienced this as a GM where you get stuck, I'm sure people do because you never know what the characters are going to do. So Saul taught me that a long time ago. And so I'm usually prepared for that because I figure if I don't know what they're going to do, they don't know what they're going to do either. So whatever comes along, you just kind of go with the flow.
Right.
And say they want to go the wrong way. Let them go the wrong way. Let them, you know, go down the road and get to the next town and have your clue there or whatever it is. Or, you know, it's your world, so you can kind of move stuff around unless you've already named everything. Then you might have to, you know, oh, this was the wrong place or whatever.
Yeah, Jolene's good for moving stuff in front of you in case you're going the wrong direction.
That's only because if you play with kids and stuff, sometimes you don't know what they're going to do.
Well, even adults, you don't know what they're going to do. So I think it's a good idea to have one, two, or even three little encounters that you can pull out at any time and pick out the one that's more relevant to the situation they're in.
And maybe they're just not into what you're doing that day. And you just pull out an encounter that, or have something ready just to have for them to have fun.
Right. Something to play around with.
Yeah. A different idea or something.
Correct. Well, I think that's it.
Okay. This is Gaming Perspectives with
Saul
and Jolene.
And you guys have a good day.